The College Women's Club Incorporated presents for your listening pleasure Telefact, presenting guest speakers and lecturers on topics of general interest to you. This evening's guest speaker is Mr. Otto William Geist, Research Associate in Paleontology at the University of Alaska. Your interviewer, Mrs. Andrew J. Bodner.
Good evening, Mr. Geist. It's a pleasure to have you with us tonight. I'm sure some of the activities of your busy paleontology lab will provide some interesting listening for us. First of all, you and Mr. Webster can probably give us the best definition of paleontology. What is paleontology?
Paleontology is the study of fossil animal remains.
Have you been collecting fossil remains in Alaska very long?
Since 1936.
Who started the collecting?
The collecting was started in 1929 when the Fairbanks Exploration Company uncovered great masses of fossil material in the lower Goldstream workings. The university, however, had no one available to do the work of collecting this material, and there was no one here who would have known how to do it in a professional manner. Dr. Charles E. Bunnell, then president of the university, was very much interested in this work, and arrangements were made whereby the American Museum of Natural History in New York was contacted, and Dr. Charles Frick, one of the paleontologists there, considered the work important enough to send a man to Alaska. Thus, Mr. Peter C. Kyson of the museum laboratory was sent to Alaska for 2 years. Mr. Kyson was an experienced fossil hunter, having been on various expeditions with Roy Chapman Andrews in the Gobi Desert, seeking fossils of extinct mammals. In 1929, Mr. Kyson collected by himself, and that fall, I was recalled from St. Lawrence Island for work in 1930. Kyson trained me in the work of collecting, preserving, cataloging, and packing the specimens. After 30, I returned to St. Lawrence Island, however, and other people at the university had to take charge of the work. In 1936, when finally I returned from St. Lawrence Island for good, I was put in charge of the collecting of fossil material and have carried the work on ever since, excepting during the war years.
Well, Mr. Geist, on whose sponsorship are these collections made?
The University of Alaska and the Frick Laboratory of the American Museum in New York.
Well, are regular expeditions made into the field? And if you do make regular expeditions, who sponsors them?
Regular expeditions are sent in the field every year. The expeditions are, of course, financed by Dr. Frick. But since last year, the University of Alaska added also a modest amount towards this work.
Oh, well, what is done with the specimens that are found?
The remains collected during the summer season are brought to the university workshop, where they are dried out, then cleaned, shellacked, cataloged, and packed for shipment to the Frick Laboratories in New York.
Why are the specimens shipped to New York?
The specimens are shipped to the Frick Laboratories because the American Museum, one of the largest museums of North America, has enormous quantities of comparative material available, which is accessible to the Frick Laboratories at all time. We here have no material with which we can compare the fossils for strict or absolute identification.
Something most people will want to know, in what parts of the territory are the majority of these finds made?
Most of the finds are made in the interior of Alaska, where permafrost is present.
Oh, well, why would the permafrost areas provide the most fossil remains?
The permafrost preserves the fossils.
What kind of fossil remains do you find in Alaska?
Well, a great number of animal remains are recovered. Perhaps I best start with some of the largest species of animals, namely the mastodon and the woolly mammoth, the horse, various species of the super bison and musk oxen, the surf owls, the giant elk, the moose and the caribou, similar or closely related to what we have today.
Well, were all of these animals native to this area?
No, not all of the mammals were native to this country. Some of these have migrated from Asia across the Bering Strait.
Well, how about the climatical conditions? Were they different here in the territory when these animals lived here?
Not much different from what it is today. The fact that the mammoth we have found here in Alaska had long hair and a heavy coat of wool underneath for warmth, and also the fact that the camel still has long hair and wool tells us that we had similar weather conditions as we have today. Otherwise, they would not need the protection.
It is amazing to me to hear you say that the camel lived in Alaska. They're usually found in a tropical or subtropical climate today.
Yes, for most people that would be an interesting item to think over. But you must figure that the camel, as well as the horse, are animals which belong to the American continent and developed here.
You mean they originally came from the American continent?
Yes.
Well, when did most of these animals live in Alaska?
During the late Pleistocene period, which is approximately 25 to 50,000 years ago.
Gosh, 50,000 years is a long time.
Geologically speaking, if you consider that the age of the reptile, which includes the dinosaurs, was millions of years ago.
Then it isn't a long time.
No, not geologically speaking.
What do you consider the most notable find that's been made in the territory?
Probably the bone of a giant ground sloth.
What's that?
That is an animal which was supposed to live only in the tropics and subtropic climes.
So then it's a very unusual find for this far frozen north.
Yes, it is. Nobody expected to find it up here.
I imagine there have been some other interesting finds than this giant ground sloth.
Yes, probably the most interesting ones are the mammals we recovered with hide and hair. For instance, a portion of a horse, musk oxen, and super bison, and a portion of a baby mammoth.
These were the Pleistocene horses? Are they like the horses of today?
Yes, the Pleistocene horse was fully developed like the horses we have today.
Well, the remains when they're found, are they preserved very well?
Yes. The best specimens, of course, are found in the permafrost, and thus are all well preserved.
Then it's the permafrost that preserves them so well. What is permafrost, Mr. Geis?
Permafrost is permanently frozen ground.
I'm sure anyone would ask this next question. What killed most of these animals? How did they die out?
Not all died out. Some of them are still present, but those that did die out, none of the offsprings are found today died off probably of more than one catastrophic cause, one of which may have been the eruption of volcanoes, which covered the grass used for the food of the animals, covering it with ashes so that the grass became unpalatable. The water would have become contaminated at the same time. This could have been followed by terrific dust storms which covered the grass completely, and the animals could not even have inhaled anything else but the dust.
Well, are there any other causes that might have killed these animals?
Probably other causes. For instance, great swamps, water being dammed up, killing the animals by drowning.
Well, when you find these fossils, do you ever find any flesh or just the bones and hair?
Well, we find that what most people think is flesh It's chiefly muscle fibers and ligaments of the animals.
Then there actually is no flesh.
Actually, no flesh as we know it. Flesh consists of a great deal of water.
Oh, well, has anyone ever been known to eat any of this dehydrated flesh?
I have heard that in Siberia, a mammoth carcass was found of which dogs were feeding, and people also had partaken of it. It is possible if the animal was practically buried in ice.
Well, are these Pleistocene fossils, as found here, found any place else in the world?
Yes, if you speak of fossils in permafrost in Siberia and eastern Canada.
Where in Siberia?
Chiefly in eastern and northeastern Siberia, where the mining operations take place, for instance, along the Anadyr River.
We have such a short time in which to get the answers to so many questions I'd like to ask about that fossil bone pile we see every year at the university, that I'll ask just one more question. Last fall, I saw two huge tusks and a big skull in your lab. What was that mammoth thing?
It was a mammoth.
Can you tell me the length of those huge tusks?
Yes, the length of the left tusk was 13 feet and 6 inches, and that of the right tusk was 13 feet and 2 inches. As far as we know, these are the largest tusks ever collected in Alaska and are now considered as rivaling the largest woolly mammoth tusks in any collection in the world. Fortunately, we have also secured the skull for these specimens, which came from the FE workings on Dome Creek, and which were actually brought in by Dr. Charles E. Bunnell while I was working on the Seward Peninsula. These specimens will be put on exhibit at the museum at the university.
Well, Mr. Geist, would you be willing to give a return interview on Thursday evening?
If you think it will be of interest to the general public, I would be very glad to do so.
Well, we thank you so much, Mr. Geist, for appearing on the College Women's Club program with us tonight. Good night, listeners.